Let us begin. Parshas Vayishlach, we're going to focus tonight on what I've entitled it as the mystery of Dina. And we're going to talk a little bit about what took place with Dina. And the reason why I said the mystery of Dina is because we're going to reveal what actually happened to Dina afterwards, which I never knew myself. And the Torah doesn't state explicitly, or maybe it does in certain ways. So we're going to take a look at that. The Ramban has a very long Ramban about that, and we'll get to that after we go through the Psukim. On page 180, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk says, Vatetze Dina bas Leah, asher yolda liyakov liros bivnos haaretz. Dina, the daughter of Leah. And just keep in mind that the Torah specifies that she's the daughter of Leah, as opposed to anybody else. She went out, liberot bivnos haaretz. So the Medrash tells us that, what did it mean to, that she went out to see the girls of the town? So that Shechem went and sent the young girls of the people who lived in his area in order to entice Dina to come out of her tent to see what they were doing, and then he kidnapped her. Vayar osa Shechem ben Chamor achivi nisi haaretz. Shechem sees her. Vayikach osa vayishkav osa vayaneha. He takes her, and he violates her. Vayaneha, so the Mefarshim say, Vayaneha means, not only did he violate her in an unnatural way, but that she was kicking and screaming. Let us not think for a moment that she was perfectly happy with him. No, she was crying, and she was yelling, and she wanted to go back home. Vatidbak nafsho bedina bas... Vatidbak nafsho bedina bas Yaakov. So his nefesh, his soul, became connected with Dina bas Yaakov, meaning he wanted to marry Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. By Yahavas Hanara, he loved the Nara. By Daber Alev Hanara, and he spoke to her. We're going to see in the Ramban also what that means. Correct. What that means, what it's, that he spoke to her heart. By Yomer Shechem al Chamor Aviv, Lemor Shechem says to Chamor's father, saying, Kachli Yasei Aldazos Leisha, give me her for a wife. By Yaakov Shama Kitime as Dina Bito, Obanav Hayuas Migdeh Basade. Yaakov hears that Dina was violated. And Yaakov is silent. The Echarish Yaakov at Boam. He was silent. He was trembling until they came back. So Shechem, the father of Chamor, comes out. I'm sorry, Chamor, the father of Shechem, comes out to speak with Yaakov. Ubnei Yaakov baum in asadeh keshamam. And the sons of Yaakov came from the field when they heard. They were very saddened, and they became very angry. Kinevala asa b'Yisrael, because there was an outrage committed be Israel within Israel, the Shkavas Bas Yaakov, to violate the daughter of Yaakov, and this is something that cannot be done. Vayidaber Chamor itamli. Chamor says to them, Shechem b'ni chashkanav shavavitchem t'nenosa lo l'isha. Chamor says to them, Shechem, my son, has desires your daughter, give her to be his wife. V'ischatnu osanu, and let us get married. You give us your daughters, we'll give you our daughters, and we'll be in business. We'll sit as one nation, and the land will be before you. Sit, trade in it, be busy in it, take hold of it. Shechem says to her father and to her brothers, listen, we really want this to happen, so whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do. Okay, fine. And we're going to give you a lot of moharu, matan, mohar, matan, as Ramban will explain, is we're going to give you, not only we give her ksuba, we'll give her money, but we're going to give you money also, we'll take care of you. And just give us this girl to be Shechem's wife. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayanu bnei Yaakov Shechem es chamor aviv b'mirma v'hidaberu asher timeh es dina achosam. So bnei Yaakov answer Shechem and chamor b'mirma. B'mirma is a very careful, convincing, cunning way. And what do they say to them? Vayomer aleihem. They say to them, Lanucha lasos hadavar hazeh. We cannot do this. Do what? Laseis zachoseinu leisha asher lo orla. We can't give our sister to someone who is not circumcised. Ki cherpa hi lanu. It's a terrible thing. So, what should they do? We need you to go and get your circumcisions. And then once you get circumcisions, then we'll mix, we'll intermarry, we'll be all okay. However, I want you to understand, if you don't listen to us, then we're going to take our sister, meaning our daughter, and we're going to go.
Our daughter. Well,
v'lakachnu es bitenu. Bitenu means Yaakov's daughter. They're speaking on behalf of Yaakov, right? Vayitvu divrei ha'beinei chamor. So the words sound good in the eyes of Chamor. Ubeinei Shechem ben Chamor, and in the eyes of Shechem, the son of Chamor. So Shechem is running to do his bris right away. He wants to get this done. Now you think to yourself, how are they going to convince the people of this city? So what do they say to them? Look, these people are looking for peace with us, and they're going to come to the land, and they're going to trade here. It's going to be good for you business-wise. We're going to take their daughters, and we're going to give them our daughters. The only thing that they want is for us to have a bris milah. But right after he sort of squeezes that in between psukim, you see, because in pasuk chaf gimel he says miknehem v'kinyana v'chol behem tom halolanuhem. Right, so right in between he squeezes in, you have to have a bris. But afterwards he says, look, you're going to have so much because they're going to bring all of their cattle and all their animals. The only thing that you need to do is give a bris. Okay, so what's the reaction? Pasuk chaf dalet vayishmo chamor v'yashchem b'no kol yotzei shar iro. So chamor and Shechem are listened to by all the people. And all of the men have bris milahs. Okay, sounds good. Everything's fine right now. What happens next? Third day, they are very weak. What happens? Shimon and Levi come, they kill everybody. They take Dina, they go. It's as if it was a Navy SEAL operation. And basically they loot the rest of the city. Look at Pasuk Lamed, 30. Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, Achartem Osi, you have discomposed me. In other words, you've caused problems for me in the eyes of the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And they're going to jump upon me, I'm a small number, and they're going to destroy me and my family. What's the response of Shimon and Levi? They respond, they say, Hachizona yase esachosenu. Should we allow our sister to be treated like a harlot? So let's just remember one thing before we move on. And that is, any of the liberal figures in the world who like to describe the Jewish nation as being a peace-loving, never confrontational, non-violent religion, really have a different Torah than we do. Because, very simply, Shimon and Levi went and did what they thought was they were supposed to do, based on the fact that Jewish blood is not cheap. And one cannot simply take the daughter of Yaakov and do what they did with them. Period. Exclamation point. If you turn for a moment, let's just be factual.
What does achar temoti mean? What does that word mean?
Achar temoti.
What is the shorish of the word?
From achar. I don't know. With an ayin.
How does it mean exactly?
Don't know. So Rashi comment. Yeah, Rashi says lashon mayim achurim. It means if Rashi continues and says ein dati tzlul achshav, he says my mind, meaning that Yaakov was explaining his mind is not clear. Okay, so just want you to turn for one moment to Parshas Vayechi. In Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov didn't forget what Shimon and Levi did. Didn't forget. He comes to bless his children. What does he say to them? Page 276. Perek Memtes Posuk Hey. Shimon v'Levi Achim. Klei Chamas Mecherosehem. Their weaponry is a stolen craft. V'sodom al tavo nafshi b'kalam al tichai kibodi. Kive apam hargu ish uvirtsonam ikrushor. For in their rage, they murdered people. Okay? The apam hargu ish. Pasuk Zayin. Arur apam ki oz ve'evrasam ki kashasa. Achalkein b'yakov afisam b'yisrael. Arur apam means cursed is their anger. So, you know, where psychologists tell us that we never tell a child you're a bad child. Right? A child, good child is a bad thing. Well, folks, this is where it comes from. Yaakov Avinu says, Arur apam. Bad, cursed is their anger, not cursed are they themselves. Just want you to keep all of that in mind. And now I'd like you to refer to Ramban, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf. And there are going to be some things here that the Ramban tells us that I think will actually make this entire picture appear differently. And that is the following. V'chein lo yeaseh, first thing the brother said was, this is something which should not be done. To do what? Lanos abesubos, to violate those who were never married before. She'ahumos kidru atzman min harayos mipnei ha-mabul, lashon Rashi. The Rashi explains that after the mabul, after the flood, the nations of the world took upon themselves to sort of try to steer clear somewhat and have some kind of moral compass. And this should never have happened. V'lo yadati zeh, ki haknanim shtufim ba'arayos ubebehema ubezachor. The Ramban says he doesn't know what Rashi is really saying, because the Canaanim, the Canaanites, were filled with arayos and the behema, with immorality, with bestiality, with homosexuality. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says in Vayikra, ki as kol ha-toevos ha-el asu anshei ha-aretz asher lifnechem, that Hashem says when He lists all the arayos, all the forbidden relationships, which we read on Yom Kippur. So Hashem says, all of these things the nations of the land took part in, and therefore I'm telling you, don't do any of these, because the land is going to spit you out. So the Ramban points out that all of this did not simply start in this generation. Remember the stories of Avram Yitzchak? So Avram Yitzchak were also fearful that their wives would be taken and that they would be killed. Aval v'chein lo yeaseh, says the Ramban. The words v'chein lo yeaseh nimshach am b'Yisrael. Ki nevala asa b'Yisrael v'chein lo yeaseh b'hem. Now we have the 12 tribes. There is now an am. There is now a nation. A nation called Yisrael. Al kein amar b'Yisrael ki einena nevala ben haknanim. In other words, the action that was done against Dina was a nevala, was something which was horrific for the Jewish nation, but wasn't horrific for the other nations living in the land at that time. It was something which seemed to be relatively common. The Unklus Amar, you're going to love this. Unklus says, Lo kosher. Everybody knows what that means, right? Wasn't kosher. Li'is avda, to do. Lo mashehu asur. Ulekachi nevala b'Yisrael. So the Ramah explained to us what it means that there was nevala, this outrage that was done amongst the Jewish people. Mohar umatan, so I'll tell you outside, what is this mohar umatan? So mohar is, the Ramban explains, it's a ksuba, right? What is a ksuba? So nowadays people take their ksubas and they hang them on the walls. Right? The truth is that the ksuba is not really something that needs to be hung on the wall. Ksuba is something which is a marriage document. A marriage document which stipulates that the husband is obligated to give the wife certain things, including clothing, money, food. And if the husband and wife were to divorce, then the wife is given X amount of dollars in order to be able to support herself. So a woman who is married is given a ksuba. So what Shechem and Hamor were saying to Yaakov was, listen, we're going to give you mohar umatan. What's mohar? That's a ksuba. Meaning we'll take care, we're going to take care of Dina. And we'll also give you matan. What's matan? So he says at the end of the second line here, umatan migdanos okesef vizahav, gifts, or silver and gold, l'avio l'achea, to her father and to her brother. Interesting, right? Good, they're taking care of Yaakov. So Ramban continues after a little couple of dots, and he says, v'tam ha'pius hazeh, k'dei sheyitnu osa lo l'isha b'ratzon. Why are they going out of the way to give all these gifts? Because they wanted Dina to say, I want to be married to this man. Because she was yelling and she was crying constantly. That's why the pasuk says that he spoke to her heart. V'lakach amar kach li etzayadah zos li'isha shekvar hi bebeiso. He was already, she was already in his house. Ubiyado v'lo yare me'acheha ki hu nasi ha'aretz. He wasn't scared of her brothers because he was the king of the land. V'eichi gzulu ha'mimenu lehotzi ha'mibeiso. How are they going to steal her back? And why did Shechem want her so much? Because she was beautiful. But isn't that interesting? The other women that we spoke about, our imos, were told already about their beauty. Dina were never told about her beauty. Doesn't tell you the same thing about her. Aval lo siper hakosuv biyafya. The Torah doesn't tell us about her beauty. Kasher asa besara v'rivka v'rachel. Why? Kilo yirtza lahazkir yafya biyosa eleha l'michshal avon. Because it doesn't want to speak about her beauty when the fact that she is by him for this terrible thing. U'b'shevach ha-tzadekos davar akosav v'lo b'zu. And they only talk about the beauty of a woman when it comes to the shevach, when it comes to talking about the great things about her. So in other words, for an example, we talk about Vayuchai Sarah, that Sarah was. We say, Me'a Shana V'eshim Shana V'shev HaShanim. So you know the Rashi that of course says that her beauty, she was beautiful. So we want to be Meshabech, we want to lift up the women who are beautiful as their tzedekos. Here, Dina was brought down because of this. So the women, we all want to describe her beauty. You know, one of the women suggested this morning that perhaps there was another reason. Perhaps another reason was that the Torah didn't want to describe her beauty and make it look in any way as if she was someone who brought it upon herself with her beauty.
And it's irrelevant because even if she's beautiful, rape is rape.
Correct.
It has nothing to do with it.
Correct. V'chein lo hizkir ma na'ase ba'acharechein. Right? And also, it's not told what happens to her afterwards. Now, the Ramban goes off on an interesting tangent after he says what happens to her afterwards. Because nowhere are we told what happened to her afterwards. And you know what I find interesting? There are plenty of Jewish women today who are named Dina.
Yeah, I don't know any.
Plenty of Jewish women today who are named Dina. And you wonder, we never heard anything else afterwards about Dina. So look at what the Ramban says.
Right. My parents made my sister Tamar.
Well, Tamar is no. Tamar is different, though.
Well, but that wasn't so great either.
No. I would say that there's a difference. I would say there's a difference with Tamar. What's the difference with Tamar? First of all, Tamar saw what was going to come from her, right? And Tamar did something in order to teach someone a lesson. And in essence, what are the words of Yehuda? Some of the most powerful words in all of Tanakh. Yehuda says the two words, Tzadka mimeni. She was right, and I was wrong. So Tamar was really, she really created a tremendous lesson for us. A lesson for us about how you treat people. And Yehuda was the one who took responsibility for that. So I would take it a little step further that Tamar makes more sense to me. Dina, what do we see from Dina? We hear nothing about her. We don't even know what happened to her afterwards. So look what the Ramban says. Look what the Ramban says. V'alderech hapshat. You ready for this? And everyone, let me finish it before you continue, before you comment. V'alderech hapshat. Amda im acheha, she stayed with her brothers. Tzrura bi'almanos chios, she stayed like a widow her whole life with her brothers. Ki haisa tmeya be'enehem, because she was impure in their eyes. Ki dechsiv asher time es dina achosa. Now, it's important that we remember the context back in the times of the Torah, and when you mentioned before, rape is rape. Which is true, certainly in our times, and also in the Torah time, but on a different level. The halacha in the Torah, in Parshas Mishpatim, is if a person, if a man, takes a woman who has never been married before and violates her, you know what the halacha is? One of the strangest things that I look at it, I say, it's insane. The halacha is that he has to marry her, and he's not allowed to divorce her his entire life. What's the pshat? Are you crazy? This woman wants to stay with this beast? So the answer is that back then in those times, you know, sometimes we have to take off our hats of the 21st century and put back our hats of back then. In those times, a woman who had already been violated, or a woman who was together with someone, lost her value. She lost her value. So here, it would appear the same was the case. V'rabboseinu nechlekupa. And the Medrash says the rabbis disagree, argued about this. V'hakarov divrei ha'omer. So now the Ramban, he seems to be siding with the following opinion as to what happened to Dina afterwards. Not la Shimon. Shimon took her, the kavra of Eretz Kanaan, and buried her in Eretz Kanaan, in Eretz Israel. The Hukamosha Amarno, and this is how we, as we said, ki haisa imo bebeso ki almana, that he was in a, that she was in his house like an almana, like a widow. The yarda imahim le Mitzrayim, and went down with them to Mitzrayim. The sham mesa, and there she died. The nikbara ba'aretz, and she was buried there. Ukavurasa, meaning ba'aretz in Eretz Israel. Ukavurasa yedua ad hayom bekabala, and her burial place is known to this day. Vehi beir arbael. In Kever Nitai Harbeli, buried with Nitai Harbeli. V'itachin, ki he'ela Shimon atzmoseha bechem lo aleha. That Shimon brought her bones from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. O she'elu asam Yisrael im atzmos achiha kol ha'shvatim. Or when they took the bones of all of the 12 sons of Yaakov, they took her bones as well. Kamo she'izkiru raboseinu. But I want to tell you something. Pointed to you out to you before that she's referred to as Bas Leah, and just keep on that thought, because what I found very interesting, which is alluded to in this Ramban, is later on in Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Yud in source number 2 that you have here, the Pasuk says, "Who are the sons of Shimon? Uvenei Shimon, Yimuel, the Yamin, the Ohad, the Yachin, the Tzochar." The Shaul ben HaKnaanis. Who was Shaul ben HaKnaanis? Look at Rashi. Source number 3. Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Yud. Ben HaKnaanis. Ben Dina. The son of Dina. Sheniv ala l'Knaani. Kishaharbu eshchem. Lo haisa Dina rotza lotzeis. Ad shenishpa va Shimon. Sheyisa ena. She didn't want to leave until Shimon said to her, "I will marry you." What does that mean? What does it mean? Why wouldn't she want to leave? So first of all, maybe you could tell us something about her emotional state. She knew that her brothers were going to look down at her because of what happened. No, it wasn't her fault. But ultimately, that's the way it was at the time when it came to women. So Shimon promises that he will take her in and treat her like she's his, well, not literally, I don't think, as a wife, but treat her as he supported her. He took care of her. And so much so that when the Torah describes who the sons of Shimon were, it comments that one of the sons of Shimon was the son of Dina. So if anything, what I take away from here is very interesting about the life of Dina, that yes, ultimately she had a very sad life afterwards, but her brother Shimon took care of her and watched after her for the rest of her life and her son's life, until ultimately she died, and even after, thereafter, he made sure that she was buried and brought back to Eretz Israel.
She had a son by...
Yeah. Yeah, that was his name, Shaul. They called him Shaul ben HaKnaanis. And they called her the Knaanis because...
She didn't have a son by her brother.
No.
She had a
son. No. By Shechem. Yeah. That's why she was called ben HaKnaanis.
No,
yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
She had a son from the rape.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So now let's continue. That there solves a little bit of our mystery of Dina, of what happened to Dina afterwards. However, we still need to understand more about what transpired here with the brothers, right? So you will say to me that the brothers were very cunning to Hamor and Shechem. And you'd even think that maybe perhaps the brothers, Chas v'Shalom, were wrong. For that they tell Hamor and Shechem that they go and have circumcisions and then they go and kill everyone. What's the scoop? Okay, so let's start with source number 4. Hine Chamor Shechem el aviv v'alachei dibru. Chamor and Shechem spoke to Yaakov and to his sons, meaning her brothers. Aval hazaken lo ana osam davar. But the zaken Yaakov didn't answer anything. Ki banav yedabru bimkomo beinyan hazeh lechvado, because his sons spoke in his place out of the honor they had for their father. They felt that this was so awful, they didn't want their father to have to deal with this. They felt it was beneath Yaakov, and out of respect for their father, they spoke instead of him. Says the Ramban, there's a question here. It makes it seem as if that all the brothers did as far as ultimately what they spoke about with Hamor and Shechem, and then further, the destruction that took place, that it was through the okay of Yaakov. Ki lefan of Hayu, because he was there. V'hu hayodeya manam ki b'mirma yidaberu. V'im kein lama kas. And if Yaakov was there, if he was present when he was heard what was going on, when he heard them say to him, that you have to have everybody give a bris milah, so why did Yaakov get angry at them? So that's a great question. Why did Yaakov get angry after the fact? The Od, and even more so, Shelo yitachen shiyi yeretzono lahasi pito leknani asher timeoso. We have to assume that Yaakov Avinu, our forefather, wouldn't want his daughter to be married to this Chalaria. Right? So why would he even permit them to concoct, to make up the story, if he really felt it was true? V'hine kol ha'achim anu ha'ma'ana hazeh b'mirma. V'shimo v'levi levadam aso ha'maisa. V'ha'av arar apam lehem levadam. And meanwhile, Yaakov only cursed, who did he curse? Shimon and Levi, because they killed them. But the rest of the brothers were the ones who told him to have bris milah. Yaakov didn't complain about them. V'hatshuva, says the Ramban, ki ha'mirma ha'isa be'omram lehimo lehem kol zachar. The cunning, the trickery, was when he said to them, circumcise all of your males. Ki chashvu shelo yasu kein b'nei ha'ir. Because Yaakov thought that there was no way the people of the city would actually do this. No way the adult men were going to have circumcisions. Here you go. Right? V'imula yishmu l'nisiyam. V'iyu kulam nimolim. Yavo b'yam ha'shlishi b'yosam kalavim. V'yikhoz b'itam v'eshchem. So either they would call their bluff, right? Or they would actually do it. And if they did it, what would happen? They would come on the third day when they were all in pain. And they would walk into the house. Said before, a Navy SEAL mission. A Navy SEAL mission. They would take their daughter, their sister, and they'd leave. V'zos atzas kol ha'achim, v'v'rishus aviyim, and that was the advice of all the brothers, and that was with the permission of the father. V'shimon v'levi rotzu l'hinakim mehem v'hargu kol anshei ha'ir. But Shimon and Levi said, no, Jewish blood is not cheap. It's not good enough just to walk away and say, okay, at least we got her back. You have to pay for what you did. V'itachin she'ya kas li'yakov she'orar apam al she'hargu an she'ahir asher lo chatulo. So perhaps the anger Yaakov had was because of the fact they killed all these innocent people. V'aroyelahem she'hargu shchem levado. Perhaps Yaakov thought and said, they should have just killed Shchem. Why did they kill everybody? Right? V'zehu ma she'omar akosu v'ayanu b'nei Yaakov v'shchem v'etzchamor aviv b'mirma v'ayidaberu asher dimei ezdina achosam ki kulam hiskimu l'davar lo b'mirma b'avur nevela sh'asa lehem. Everyone agreed to the simple explanation, which is that they would have the bris, come and get your sister, get Dina, and leave. Didn't seem like there was agreement on Shimon and Levi's plan. V'rabim yishavu. Many ask, core question in this whole story. How did the tzaddikim, the righteous Yudbei Shvatim, the 12 tribes, the sons of Yaakov Avinu, how did they kill innocent people? Good question. The Harav Heshiv, who's the Rav? The Rav is the Rambam. The Rambam answers, B'sefer Shoftim. Listen to this one. He says that the Noachites, people who are not Jewish, but nevertheless, who are people who are the sons of Noach, they are obligated in keeping a justice system. And their obligation is to have laws and to have courts, a court system, in every city. To judge the mitzvahs that belong to them, the mitzvahs that they have. So, for example, one of the mitzvahs they have is Eber Menachai. They're not allowed to eat from a live animal. Right? So they should be judged. If there's somebody who eats from a live animal, they should have a place in which they are judged for that.
What happened to the last mitzvah?
No, they're saying that one of the mitzvahs is such. Right, meaning that one of the mitzvahs is that you should have... understand?
And then the other six.
Right. Okay? So he said, he continues, I won't read through all of it, but he continues and says, and therefore, a person who violated this by not establishing this judgment, and then see someone else, So that person themselves should be killed because they didn't keep these seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Right? Because one of these mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So that's what the Rambam says. So the Ramban, in the next paragraph, the Ein Dvarah Dvarim Halalu Nechonim Be'ena, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. He says, no, that's not the mitzvah. He says, Shimkena Yaakov Avinu Chayav Liyos Kodem V'Zochav Misasam. He said, if that was true, that one had an obligation to kill all the people because they saw what happened to the daughter of Yaakov and they saw the injustice and nobody stepped up and did anything, then if that was true, that they had the obligation, then Yaakov himself would have been the first one to kill the whole city. Couldn't be, says the Ramban. And if that was the case, then why would he get so angry at his sons that at Parshas Vayechi, at the end of his life, he still remembered what they did? So he explains that there was a different reason. That he basically says in the smaller now, is that he says that part of the mitzvah is that indeed they should have a justice system, but if they didn't have a justice system, it's more like a mitzvah saseh as opposed to a mitzvah lo saseh. A mitzvah saseh means you fail to do something positive, right? If you fail to do something positive, doesn't mean that you get killed for it. You only get killed if you do something which is a negative commandment, right? A negative commandment is, for example, if I murder someone, I get murdered, right? But if I fail to make a bench, I don't get murdered for that. Right? It's a positive commandment as opposed to a negative commandment. He says that's the distinction between the two. Ubi Rishalmi Amru Bedinin Shal Noach Hatedino Nerak Lakach Shochad Nerak Bedinin Yisrael Kol Din Shatayadea Shatar Shile Mimenu Yatara Shale Vroch Mimenu. Just go down a little bit further to where it's back to the normal size. Umayi Vakesh Bahen Harav Chiyu V'chiyan She'eshchem V'chol Shiva Alamim Lo'ovde Avodah Zorah U'megale Arayos V'osim Kol To'evos Hashem Hayu. Isn't it true that the people of Shechem and all of the nations, all the seven nations that lived in the land, they were all over the Avodah Zarah, they were all idol worshippers, they were all lived in illicit lifestyle, they all did terrible abominations. And the Torah speaks specifically about this. All of these things. I'll look at the underlined. So says the Ramban, as he differs with the Rambam, that it wasn't upon the sons of Yaakov to make the decision, in other words, to enforce the laws. It was upon the people to act in a judicial fashion, right? We talk the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Judeo-Christian justice system. It was incumbent upon the people to establish such a system. But the fact that they didn't establish such a system didn't give Yaakov the obligation to therefore punish them for it. So the Ramban disagrees with the words of the Rambam. Okay? Aval inyan Shechem, he continues. Now this is the second to last paragraph. Aval inyan Shechem, ki bnei Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov, ba'avur shehayu anshei Shechem rishoim, since the people of Shechem were evil, v'damam chashuv lahem kemayim, and their blood was worth to them like water, ratzu li'inakeim mehem becherev nokemes. He said, you want to know what the bottom line is? The bottom line is that Shimon and Levi wanted revenge. Right? And you know why they killed all the people? Because all the people were the servants of the king. And Shechem and Hamor was the king. And Hamor allowed this to happen. And all of the people protected Hamor. And so they went and they killed all of the people either in order to get to the king or because all these people served the king. And then if they served the king, that means they were an extension of the king. Visaris El Mashmahuso. The Ain Abrisa Sharnimobu Niksha Bainayam Lima Uma Ki Haya La Achnif Ladonehem. And he says, and the bris that they have was only because Shechem told them to do it, because Hamor told them to do it. It had no significance for them beyond that. The Yaakov Amalahem Bikan Ki Hevi U Bisakona Shunemar Achar Temosil Havi Sheni. Visham Arar Apam Ki Asu Hamas Lanchair. So why did Yaakov say to them, cursed is your anger? Right? If this all makes sense, why did Yaakov say to them, cursed is your anger? So he explains, you want to know why? Sh'amru lahem b'ma'amado, v'yashavnu itchem v'ayinu la'am echad, because when Yaakov said that, you know, we'll sit together, we'll be one nation, v'heim hayu bocharim b'hem, u'ba'atu b'diburam, v'ulay yashuvu el Hashem, v'hirgu asam chinam. Yaakov held out and said, you know what? Maybe there are some people who really will come close to God and do tshuva. Maybe there's some hope here. Sounds like Yaakov wanted to do something that his grandfather Abram wanted to do. And so he said, you know what? You didn't have patience. Over upon their anger, meaning that they were quick. They were quick to be angry, Shimon and Levi. You didn't have patience to see what the outcome would be from the people who lived in the area of Shechem and Hamor. And to take the Ramban one step further, to say that if people had such a commitment that they were willing to circumcise themselves for this purpose, then maybe Yaakov was thinking to himself that if indeed they would do such a thing, just perhaps if they were so determined to do something for a purpose, maybe if they started to learn about God, they would also be determined to become Balei Tshuva. V'ulai yashuvu l'Hashem, and then, but then, v'har go'osam chinam, they killed them for no purpose. Ki lo heru lahem klal, because they weren't bad to them at all. B'zeu sh'amar k'lei chamas mechiraseim, and that's why Yaakov cursed them later on. Now, my final piece before we open up the floor for questions. V'im na'amin b'sefer melchamos b'nei Yaakov. He now quotes, I'm sorry?
Who can remember them anymore?
I'm sorry.
You've gone through a lot of questions.
Okay. V'im na'amin b'sefer milchamos b'nei Yaakov. He quotes here from the Sefer HaYashar, a Sefer which is called the Milchamos b'nei Yaakov, the Wars of the Sons of Yaakov. Ready for this? This is something you never learned before. You didn't learn it in second grade, you didn't learn it in third grade. This is new. Balahem, what was that?
Joel voucher that.
Okay. Balahem pachad avihem. Yaakov was scared. Kinesbu shochnei shechene Shechem ve'asu imayim shalosh milchamos gedolos. The people who lived around Shechem made three big wars with Yaakov and his sons. Ve'lulei avihem shechagar gam hu klei milchamto ve'nilcham bam hayu besakana. And if not for Yaakov putting on battle armor and going to war himself, they would have been in grave danger. Because the nations around saw what Shimon and Levi did to Shechem, and they were scared. So they went to battle against Yaakov. And Yaakov himself went into battle. Kasher yisaper b'sefer ahu. V'rabosenu iskiru mizeh v'posuk asher lakachti miyad ha'emori b'charbi u'b'kashti. Later on, the posuk, if you look in Perek Mem Ches, posuk Chof Beis, look at Perek Mem Ches, posuk Chof Beis, which is page 200. And 74. Yaakov says to Yosef, "Va'anina sati l'cho Shechem achad alachecha." He says, "I give to you Shechem, right above your brothers. Asher lakachti miyad ha'emori, that I took from the Emori, becharbi with my cherub, my sword, and bekashti with my bow." Question is, when did Yaakov? We're talking about Shimon and Levi won Shechem. So Yaakov gives Shechem to Yosef. That's why, of course, Yosef is buried in Shechem. But when was he victorious? So that's what the Ramban says. There was this war. The war in which Yaakov himself got his armor on and went to battle. And that war was because of Shimon and Levi. So continues back in this Rashi. In the Ramban. Aval akosav yikosar bazes. So now you want to know, why didn't the Torah talk about this war? Ki haya nes nistar. The Torah didn't talk about it because it was a hidden miracle. Ki anashim giborim hayu v'cha'elu zroham hoshia lamo ka'asher katzar akosuv al harim asher sebiloseyem v'lo nes v'kulam lirdov acharei b'nei Yaakov ki ayu noflim aleyem k'chol asher asfas hayam larov. They fell down like sand. V'zeh ta'am chitas elokim ki naf aleyem emasa v'pachad min agvur asher rov melchama. People became scared of Yaakov because they saw the miracles. They saw that with all the miracles that were done on his behalf. Ulekach amar v'yavo Yaakov luza hu v'chol ha'am asher imo lehodiyah shlo nifka b'nehem v'lo me'abdehem ish melchama. To teach us that he didn't even lose one man in war. And the Ramban has said that there are many places in the Torah where we don't know specific details. One such example is the famous story that we all know of Avraham Avinu in his battle in Ur Kasdim. Right? The Torah never talks about that. The Medrash tells us that Avraham was thrown into a furnace because he refused to bow down to the idols. The Torah never says it. It was a tremendous nace, a tremendous miracle. The Torah doesn't speak of it. So here too, the Torah doesn't speak of this battle that Yaakov was forced into himself because of the actions of Shimon and Levi. Was Yaakov angry at Shimon and Levi for killing all the people in the city? Well, it would seem there could be a number of different possibilities. It could be A, that Shimon and Levi determined, first of all, it was impossible for them to get Dinah without killing everyone in the city, because everyone in the city was protecting the king, was protecting Shechem and Chabor. And, you know, ultimately, when you send in the SWAT team and you say to them, hold your fire, if it's up to their lives, they have to shoot. They shoot. Right? That's one explanation. Or another possible explanation is, according to the Rambam, that they felt that all the people in the city, they were all responsible because no one stopped Shechem and Hamor and said to them, you can't do this. It's unjust. It's terrible. Or the possibility is that they simply, you know, they simply wanted to take revenge. So why was Yaakov angry at them? Why did Yaakov say you acted in haste? So two possibilities. Yaakov said you acted in haste because if you were patient, perhaps you would have seen that maybe there was some hope for these people. Maybe we could have had these people do tshuva. Or perhaps Yaakov was angry because they forced him by virtue of their actions into fighting this other battle and caused him concern and fear from the nations that surrounded him. That here the nations that surrounded him suddenly attacked him because he was on his own. And Yaakov had to rely on a miracle once again. Remember, the idea of Yaakov relying on a miracle is something that we see in the beginning of the parsha, right? Hatzileni nam yarachim yareisav, save me Hashem. Yaakov was worried that perhaps all of his good merits were used up already. The fact that he was able to get away with it with a Laban, it was all used up already. So he was concerned. So here too, perhaps he would also be concerned. And now I remind you back to the Bas Leah. Why did Shimon and Levi do this? So think about it. Later on, in 2 weeks from now, Parshas Vayeshev, we talk about the fact that there were some of the Yosef came to the defense of the brothers who were being made fun of by other brothers. But what were they talking about? There were certain brothers who were making fun of the sons of the Shvachos, of Bilhah and Zilpah, and saying, your mothers weren't really married to our father, right? So what does that tell you? It tells you that among the brothers, there was a closer connection if you were from one mother. Shimon and Levi were the sons of Leah. So it says, Vateitze Dina Bas Leah, to show that Shimon and Levi did what they did, just because who knows if they would have done the same thing if she was the daughter of Zilpah. But because she was the daughter of Leah, they had to stand up and defend their sister. I think that's an interesting view of this entire story, and really, at least to me, brings out a whole new picture here as to, A, what the mystery of Dina was, what ended up happening to Dina, and clarifying some of the possibilities and some of the reasons of the actions of why Shimon and Levi did what they did, and why Yaakov was angry about what they did. Questions?